in organizing this panel and working on looking at ways of improving effectiveness, I have developed a framework, which is what I want to share and introduce that in the first chapters of the book. The framework of how we can approach the problem of not effective aid. We know that not aid is helpful, not all aid is effective, and sometimes it's very harmful. So, has anybody of you read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell? Oh, good. So you remember that to be an expert in something, you have to work in it for 10,000 hours. So I've worked more than that, so I'm going to give you my 10,000 hours in just 3 small steps. Great. So this is something that I use in my company, so I want to disclose that this is my company and that we work to realize global health, and that is the basis of the book. And the book has 26 chapters in which we explain this framework, and also there are examples by different people that in their own area they have looked at different ways of addressing how we can really make the best of the aid that we have, how we can make sure that it's sustainable, and after the project ends, something is really still working, and if possible, everything has been handed over and used. Oops. So why should we care about effectiveness in global health? Well, because I noticed throughout the years that me and others were asking themselves many questions. How well does really global health work? And do these projects really make a difference? And how effective are they? How sustainable are these interventions? If we go back after 5 years a project ended, are we going to find anything left? Is anybody interested in looking at whether something will remain after that and how well the country is taking that input into the next phase of the development of the health system? And what's the return on the investment? How much should we, sometimes when we look at the SDGs and the MDGs that we're costing, it will take $3 trillion to achieve the MDGs or the SDGs and whatever goals you want. But really, what is the return on that? If we invest in that, we never know really what is the return on that. So these questions were haunting me. And then I started to look for answers, and I saw that there's such a fragmentation. When I started to work in global health almost 30 years ago, there were only 5 or 6 main organizations working on it. But now there's hundreds. In this PowerPoint slide, you'll see only 42, but I counted more than 300, and I stopped counting because I was bored. But there's so many out there, and each has their own agenda, and each has its own way of doing things. So global health has become so confusing that I imagine how difficult it is for young professionals that just started trying to make sense of all of this. So that's why we said we need the book. And it's not only that the field of global health has become complex, is that we are really making it harder for countries, for instance, to use aid. For instance, this was the supply system in Kenya in 2004. I haven't been able to get information to update this. But you can see that drugs come through all these different organizations. So imagine having to manage all this. It's impossible for one country like Kenya. So things have become too complex. And you still see places like this. This is a health center in Malawi. This one is a district health center in Nigeria. This is a labor ward in northern Nigeria. And if you don't set up standards, nobody's going to deliver here. And you just need to mobilize the community. You just need to, we need to paint this room. We need to have enough money for a linen. We need to have, just mobilize the community. You can get, that's why the community-based approaches that Professor Perry was talking about are so crucial. And measuring and having information, because medical records like this are not going to provide you the information. So putting systems in place became so important. And we don't have enough health providers. This is a nursing school in northern Nigeria. You can see the library has very few books. They have a wonderful computer lab, but very few people are using it. They don't have online textbooks there that they can use. And so I went there 3 times, and only one time I found one person in that lab. So probably it's not representative, but classrooms were very, very crowded. So, and then, now it's 2015. What have we learned? I've been in this business for 30 years, Henry, more or less, not much. And so we set goals, and then we don't achieve them. Some of you may remember Health for All by the year 2000. So the year 2000 came and nothing happened. And so we really need to be professional and be responsible at what we do. And the way to do that is to start by being effective. And I think if each of us becomes effective, the companies or the organizations we work for are going to become more effective. And that's why now we have 15 years to achieve SDG 3, ensuring healthy lives for everybody, preventing preventable deaths. Now we have the knowledge. 30 years when I started ago, we did not know how to prevent many of the diseases that we have now. Now we have the knowledge and the technology, so it's just a matter of really making it happen. So here's the framework. First, mission. Effectiveness starts with the right to health. I realize that when you invoke all the right to health legislation, starting from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 25, which I think everybody should get a binder, print these things. Each of these are about 10 pages long. They're not very long, but you really need to have that binder on your desk and refer to this legislation. They're really, you see how many of the ideas we have now are not new. These things were already thought through and figured out many years ago. We just need to implement them. And the International Convention of Educational, Social, and Cultural Rights, not to mention the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, we're talking about female genital mutilation, gender-based violence. All these things have already been figured out since last century. We just need to make it happen. The right to development. This is a 6-page document that really shows how developed countries and developing countries can work together. And it's bitter. Then the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Everybody working in child health should know this document. Again, there are 10 pages. And the Millennium Declaration. The Millennium Declaration has a lot more than just the 8 MDGs. So it's a very visionary document that really set the vision for the whole new millennium. And finally, I want to stress that everybody has to read General Comment 14, which has a very weird, ugly, not branded name. But this defines what the right to health is. And this means that every human being, you here, it's somebody in Kenya or Nigeria or South India or wherever, has the same right to the highest attainable standard of health care. So everybody has to have the right to cancer treatment, to surgery, to have access to the same quality of health care. And if you read this document, you'll see that everything has been figured out and how it has to be done. So if you look for innovative, effective ways of applying them in your work, you're going to see how much more effective we become. Finally, in the year 2005, about 100 organizations got together in Paris, nice place to meet, to agree on the Paris Declaration, which is a very interesting document because it sets principles for how aid should work. So the principles are the principle of ownership. So the country has to have its own program, and then we as donors and donor funded organizations contribute to that. There has to be alignment. UNICEF can do things and then other donors can do their own way, but if we don't align what we're doing, our impact is going to be limited. We need to harmonize. Remember that supply chain in Kenya that has all those things? We need to harmonize because we can't have 17 different supply systems. We need to have one. And then managing by results, which is brings me to what Professor Perry was saying. If we are managing by results, we measure the results, we're doing censuses, we're doing home visits, and we keep track of the information, and now we have the technology to do it, we need to be more accountable. That will allow us, which mutual accountability, donors have to be accountable for what they promised they would do, and countries as well as the private sector and all the partners involved. So, number two, vision. The vision of an effective global health program is that everything that we do has to improve the country's health system. So if you're doing an HIV/AIDS program, which is good, as Dr. Perry was saying, sometimes you have disease-focused programs, you can do HIV/AIDS, but look how that is going to change the governance system of the country, the policies, how hospitals are going to deliver HIV/AIDS, how academia, are you transferring your training programs to the country's nursing schools and medical schools? The public sector is using your tools. The private sector, the civil society and the other NGOs in the country, are they adopting what you learned? So that way, you're going to be effective and you're going to be able to then think things to the next level. So that my model is project, program, system. Any project has to improve the country's programs and then make changes so the health system can deliver quality health services. So if you're trying to improve child health, for instance, your project has to somehow contribute to how the country, because you know that every country has a child health program manager in the Ministry of Health, at district level, and different levels. So the country program has to improve. And if you're not able to demonstrate that, maybe your project is not being effective. And then the system has to improve. So I've seen so many people training nurses and doctors, and then they don't change their job descriptions, they don't change their routines, their supervision, they don't change the supply system so they have what they need. I've seen people trained in malaria, and then malaria, new drugs were not there yet. They didn't arrive until 6 months later, then they have to organize a refresher. And projects that leave and don't transfer those tools and those trainings to the local nursing schools. So, project, program, system. Number three, accountability. This is a health center. Everything starts with a health center. The health center is the center of health. If you have a good health center, from there, you can have then effective community-based programs. So my goal is that to be effective, we should globally, in order to achieve SDG 3, increase at least by 10% per year the number of health centers that have empowered health providers and that deliver quality health care. If all the partners in every country work together and they agree to increase the number of health centers that are able to provide quality health care by 10% every year, then we will be able to meet the targets of 2030. Because in 10 years, we will have covered most of the health centers of the country, and we will have time to build new health centers. Malawi now has about 10 million people. By the year 2030, it's going to have almost 25 million people. So that will require more facilities and better facilities. So from a health center that is effective, we'll be able to do the community mapping then. Because having community health workers that are not supported with the tools and with a health facility and don't have a strong relationship with the health workers in that area, it's not going to last. It's not going to be effective. So from there, we can do effective community-based primary health care. So finally, remember the principles of the Paris Declaration. I attended a meeting on monitoring and accountability, and I asked Dr. Chan what happened with the Paris Declaration, and she said, oh, we always have good ideas and then we forget them. So please, don't forget the principles of the Paris Declaration. Don't start things again and reinvent the wheel. We've already figured out things how to do it. We just have to do them now. So remember that also, as Professor Perry was saying, you can see how Gordon Wyatt, people start things, and then others have to take them further. This is a lifelong commitment. So you have to find your partners. You have to find like-minded people that are going to help you communicate, collaborate, look for ways of coordinating. So if you're working in any country, look for ways to have as many partners as you can. Finally, I ask you to please take your smartphones and go to the USAID Learning Lab, join our Effective Global Health Projects group, and also you can find us on LinkedIn. So please do it now so you don't forget. And if you go to LinkedIn, go to groups, and you'll find Aid Effectiveness there. So you can stay in touch with more news and more. We also have a number of podcasts about each of the topics in the book, so please become part of this movement of being more effective. Thank you very much.